Hi, I'm Sue Glasgow. I use the Motorola Droid. Now get ready for the Android Central podcast.
Hello, everybody. Phil here for AndroidCentral.com, and we are back again for podcast number 2. I'm here again with Mickey Papillon. Mickey, how's it going?
I'm doing great. Good to be back.
Well, let's just dive into it. We've got a ton of news, and we could, you know, pretend to banter back and forth, but we've been doing that for 15 minutes now anyway, right?
Yeah, I guess there's nothing to talk about unless you want to talk about, like, CTIA coming up here in just a week.
Okay, well, let's talk about that for a minute because we'll get another chance to talk about it before we all go. But you and I are going to be there in Vegas, back in Vegas. Explain CTIA, because I haven't been to CTIA yet, so what am I expecting? What am I going to see?
Well, CTIA, very similar to any other tech trade show, I think. It's a lot like CES, so it's not much different than that for those that have been there. But the great thing is that it's completely focused on the phone, so you're constantly stopping and talking to different people that you probably won't see anywhere else other than at a show like CTIA. Now, CTIA comes in two parts. There's a spring version, which is coming up here in Vegas, starting in just a week and a half here, and then there's a fall version that happens in various different places. Last fall, it was down in San Diego. I know it's been in, I think, Hollywood, Florida as well. And anyway, it's just, you know, the Las Vegas Convention Center, two different halls, totally full of everything from manufacturers of devices such as Motorola or Samsung or whoever to the carriers. Some of them have a presence there, but nothing really major because there's not a whole lot that a lot of them do. But then you get all these different, not only developers of software, but there's also hardware. So you've got places that do cases, you've got places that do whatever it is, different batteries and stuff like that. And then you get the cool, crazy, techie, geeky stuff like the towers and the generators that are backups for the towers and the panels on the tower manufacturers. And there's like,
and you love this stuff too.
I love it. Yeah, we probably talked to a guy for, actually it was a woman, for like a half hour at the one last year about this little product that they made, which was a solar panel specifically designed for charging batteries that then you would use in your phone. So it was like this little tiny thing, you know, but it folded up into like what looked like a wallet and you just unfolded it and stuff. It was really cool. So they have just weird stuff, crazy stuff, but everything related to cellular. I mean, it's pretty intense.
And so it's a lot like what we saw in Barcelona, it sounds like, too. Just a whole bunch of stuff I didn't understand. I swear I saw an oscilloscope, like, from science class there. I stayed away from that booth. I wanted nothing to do with it. Science, I'm all right with. Math is not my friend.
I see.
But we'll probably see some new phones, too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because we know we have the HTC. Well, we know we have the HTC Incredible and Supersonic floating around out there. Two phones that haven't actually been announced yet by HTC, so they could just be, you know, mock-ups and prototypes. But chances are they're actual phones, and we'll see them announced and released at some point. So maybe we'll see them. I don't know, what do you think? 50%, 80% chance?
Yeah, probably. If not here, where? You know, there's not much else coming up here, so I think so.
Cool. Well, let's talk kind of about the big story. Not the newsiest thing, but just a really cool story. We were talking about it a minute ago. Got pinged on Twitter yesterday on Wednesday that the man who invented the cell phone, Marty Cooper, had been on C-SPAN last week and talked a whole bunch of Spectrum and a whole bunch of just kind of nerdy backhaul, back-end type stuff. But toward the end of the thing, they ask him, of course, you know, what phone do you use? And he says, well, you know, I had an iPhone and now I'm using a Droid.
Yeah. He said, you know, it depends on when you ask me, which I thought was great. That's the exact response that people say. They say, well, what phone do you use? And I'm like, right now, you know, cause it's exactly what it is. And he said, right now I'm using the Droid. I wanted to get some experience in the Android OS. And so far I've had, quote, favorable results. Not sure what that meant, but then he went on to talk about other stuff. But
well, yeah, and he's like us. I mean, he says he uses a Droid. He'll be using something in a month, something else in a month, probably. You know, it's his job to use different things. So the story itself is just fun. I wouldn't read in too much into the fact that the man who invented the cell phone uses a Droid. he'll use something else at some point too. But it's a cool story, and wow, I mean, he, for being, you know, my grandfather's age, and that's getting up there these days, the man is still current. I mean, he's still on his droid. You were joking a minute ago. He knew, you know, the difference between twittering and tweeting and which one you say. And
yeah, I mean, I just, he just listening to him, I thought was absolutely fascinating. And for those, if you're not familiar, Marty Cooper, if you Google anything about cell phones from the early days of cell phones, you're going to find a picture of him holding a Motorola Dynatac. And it's like the most iconic picture that I can think of him. And yeah, he's
the giant brick phone.
For those
of us who don't know the name.
The brick phone. So 25 years later, he still looks real good. The interview was a little choppy, but other than, you know, that, he was pretty coherent and it was pretty good. But yeah, 81 years old, talking about using a regular feature phone, a Jitterbug phone, which I guess he was a big part in creating the Jitterbug company, using a droid for things. He says I use it for twittering or tweeting, I guess you call it. And I was like, wow, that's really good. Like, he really is up that much on things. So but I think we got to get people to follow him here. So if you're on Twitter, follow him at Marty Mobile, M-A-R-T-Y.
He started at 25, right, as I put that post up on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking right now, 1,456.
Now that's
not all us. You know, a whole bunch of other websites picked up the story, including all the big guys. And he's only following three people, one of whom appears to be David Pogue. Marty, mm-hmm. why aren't you following me, man? I was number 26.
Well, he's following Droid Life. I don't know what that's
about. Oh, Marty. We gotta have a chat here, man.
Yeah, and he also follows the FCC, which is cool. He talks a lot about the FCC in the interview too. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff going on with, you know, with him, and you know, he's one of those guys. I'll just say one of the legacy people that helped start the industry, and it's a really cool thing. And I actually just sent him a message because I was like, you know, kudos to you and great job on your interview here this week on C-SPAN. So very cool. If you're anything sort of a geek when it comes to phones, you're going to love the interview. And it's a long one. It's half an hour, so set some time aside.
I'm trying to get him on the podcast. Nice. That's my goal.
I love it.
All right, let's move on. I've been playing with the Motorola Devourer all week.
That's a nice looking phone. I mean, that's the type of device that you're really proud to carry around. So I'm real interested to hear your thoughts. There is a video, I realize, and I have watched it, but I'm going to pretend like I haven't and ask you about it. Because it's solid, man. I mean, that unibody.
You just pretty much wrote my review, because I've been struggling writing this thing. It's a very nice piece of hardware. Yeah, aluminum unibody just feels good in the hand, and it doesn't feel as cold as the Droid does. If a phone can feel such a way, the Droid to me still feels cold and just industrial. The Devourer, it's brushed aluminum, so it looks different. It's not shiny, but it feels better in the hand. At the same time, it's still big and still a little squared and angular, but it's definitely a different feel. And I really kind of hate comparing it to the Droid, but we're obviously going to, and you kind of have to. But they really are very, very different phones, and especially once you turn the thing on and you see it's got Moto Blur on it. This is really the first time that I've sat down and worked with Moto Blur, and I want to shoot myself.
Not good, huh?
Nah. Well, especially after coming from the new Sense that HTC has done. Moto Blur, if you don't know, is Motorola's custom user interface that's built into Android, just like Sense is on HTC phones. And it's really focused around social aggregation. So you give it your credentials for Facebook and MySpace and Twitter. Not Picasa. I think they use Flickr. I can't remember offhand, but basically you give them all the stuff and then they pull it all in. So if you get a Facebook message, it shows up in the same place as your emails might or your text messages. For a lot of people, that's probably okay. Certainly not for me. I need to kind of parse things out of my own and have my own system for that. But when you look at it from the context of here's HTC Sense on one hand, and especially with the new Friendstream, and if you haven't, we still got a link on the front page to my early review of that. Mm-hmm. It's just not there. It's almost too. It's kind of cartoonish when you look at it, and especially just in the user interface, it's cartoonish. You have these big giant bubble widgets on the front page, and I'm still trying to figure out why it's telling me what the last thing I tweeted was. I don't need to have that right in front of me. I know what it was. I typed it. So we'll see. I mean, as far as the hardware goes, it's cool. You know, it's a horizontal slider. Buttons themselves are a little weird because there are four rows and they're spaced nicely, unlike the Droid, which is just this flat, crappy panel. These buttons have spaces in between them, but the letters themselves go on either side of the space bar as well. And that's going to take some getting used to. I'm not saying you can't get used to it. It's just odd at first. There aren't any symbols or function keys on the number row up the top, which is kind of a waste of space. If you're going to have a dedicated number row, put something else on it. Mm-hmm. I'm glad there's a dedicated number row, but it's just weird things like that. I mean, it's almost like, I hate to say the B team, you know, like the A team went and did the Droid, because I'm sure that's just not the case, and it's not fair to the designers who made the Devourer. But they really just are that different in feel. So I'm going to get this review finished up by the weekend, I hope, and get it out the door. So
yeah, just kind of looking at it, if you're looking for something to compare it to, I mean, it is like a Sidekick made out of aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see when I look at it.
Exactly. And that's how it feels. You know, the screen doesn't do the weird contorting flip around thing that the Sidekick does, but you absolutely get that feel when you're playing with it.
Yeah, which I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, the design was good. I like the Sidekick design. I you know, it's a fun phone to use, especially if you're a social butterfly. It works really well. But looking, the other kind of thing that is unique about this compared to the you know, some of the other Android devices that are out there is the optical trackpad. And this,
yeah, it's good. It's new. It's not like the trackpad that we're seeing on the HTC Legend and Desire now. It's a big. Not big, it's like a quarter inch square. And it works okay. You still have weird travel issues. And we've talked about this with the Legend and Desire. There's just not a lot of room to move your thumb and get a lot of movement at one time. And it's not that it's in a weird spot, but it's kind of in a weird spot.
Mm, yeah, I see that too, looking at it. And it was, well, they had to make room for the Verizon logo, right? So
yeah.
Had to move it over.
No, the logo's out of the way. But what is weird is there are only three, I call them soft buttons because that's what I'm used to from the old days. You know, your home, back, and menu. And what am I missing? Home, back, menu. What's the fourth button? Search.
Yeah, search.
Instead of having four buttons on the Devourer, you have three. And there's almost nothing where the fourth button would be. There's a little LED that'll alert you when you have messages and stuff. But I mean, it's just so odd looking when you're used to seeing four buttons there, and then there's nothing except for a tiny little light. And then there's a whole, I mean, there's about maybe a fifth of an inch, at least a quarter of an inch of space between the buttons and the screen. It's a 3.1 inch screen. It's not a huge screen, but there's just, I mean, I liken it to just a gangly teenager. It's like, it doesn't all quite fit together, and I'm not sure why. I understand you have screen resolutions you have to do, you know, work with, but it needs a bigger screen, or it needs the fourth button. That's just bizarre.
Hmm. I'm not sure that this is going to be something that the heavy power user is going to, you know, be looking for, forward to, but it may be something that fits into a certain niche, especially if you're looking for something kind of cool and sleek and it's got a touch screen and a slide out keyboard. And obviously Moto Blur is not for everybody. It certainly is appealing to a specific crowd. I mean, look at the other devices that it's on with the Click and whatnot. And it's not going to be the ultimate device, but nonetheless, if you're not too enamored by the Droid, I think this is a good number two.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at this and you have this in the backflip, and I'll have the backflip tonight or tomorrow, it's an interesting line of keyboard phones, which are, you know, in a day and age of the iPhone and the Nexus One and a bunch of really large glass screens, you know, they're good options.
Mm-hmm. I do like a keyboard every once in a while, but I just not a big fan of the slider. So one of the reasons I never really took to the Droid, and I don't think this one would either. And after hearing some of the experiences that you've had with it, it doesn't sound like it's, you know, necessarily would be a replacement for me for anything, but it's a good to have the option out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think they've done good with this one. So one more thing I think we have to mention, because you did a little video on it, and that's the area with the battery and the micro SD and the charging port, I think.
I'd looked at the thing, yeah, I'd had it for a few days before I finally decided I needed to figure out how to get into that stuff, because I just kept looking at it, and there's no, because it's one solid piece of aluminum on the back, there's no door to open up. And so I looked at it, and I'd been kind of, you know, poking at it on the desk and moving it and hoping maybe something would pop out at me. And I finally just had to go online and look it up. And you get to the battery through the side. On the left-hand bezel, it slides down and then just pries off pretty easily. It's not tough to get to at all. You just have to know where to look. And they did a really good job putting that together.
Hmm. And that's an interesting way of doing it. I mean, this reminded me of the way the battery's in there. If you ever use CF cards, how CF mm-hmm. cards a lot of times were implemented in digital cameras, where it's got like the little thing that you slide over, and it's a spring type of mechanism, right?
Yep.
That pops the battery out at you. So it's a way of doing it, and the micro SD looked nicely accessible. The charging port is not under there, though. I think I misspoke. It's on the bottom.
Right, the charging port's easily accessible, so that's not a big deal at all.
Yeah.
And really, it's something we kind of need to get used to, especially if the HTC Legend ends up coming to the United States in some form or another, because that's also a unibody piece, and the battery is in like a weird door on the bottom. I can't even explain it. Hmm. So, you know, just something to look out for. It's really not bad, and they put it together very nicely. It's just, you might not be able to figure it out without looking it up. At least I couldn't. So.
And you said you've got the backflip coming here in a couple of days? Or
I do. Let's talk about the backflip for a minute, because as people started getting it, they started realizing AT&T had locked it down a little bit. You can't sideload apps. It will not accept apps that are not from the market. I don't have a huge problem with this, because if you're buying the backflip, chances are you're not going to be sideloading apps anyway. You're not going to be running stuff from the other stores. You're not going to be downloading the odd APK here and there. The principle of the matter, sure, it's a little odd, but you know what? AT&T bought the phone.
Yep.
They're the ones who bought it from Motorola. They can do whatever the hell they want with it.
I look at this, and it just screams to me the essence of something that you would give to a teenager. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just like, it's a cool, crazy looking, you know, phone that, I don't know. It's almost like non-functional, you know, the way that the slider is, it's just non-traditional. They put
don't call it a slider.
Well, okay. The flipper.
So, I need dolphin sound effects I can make right here.
Right, yeah, it's a flipper phone. I mean, and it's not a flip phone, because a flip phone would mean that you're actually covering up the keys, and in this particular instance, it's actually exposing the keypad when you have it closed. So you've got the keypad literally on the bottom of the phone, the screen then on the top of the phone, and on the back side of the screen, you've got this touch area where you can use your fingers to scroll around the screen. And I did a video on this at CES. I sat there with Motorola and got a demo of it and went, okay, all right, you got something there. That's
it worked better than I thought
weird.
It would. I mean, it's pretty crazy and pretty weird, but it worked better than I thought it would. You know, it's got the camera that faces you. It's, you know, it's really the only true front-facing camera we have, isn't it?
Well, on traditional smartphones, you can all these... there's a few AT&T devices that are out there, but it's all one-way video calling, right? So,
right.
Anyway, but looking overall at this device, I find it just to be a little bit too out there for most people, and I think it's going to be even more of a niche device than most of these other Android devices have been. I haven't seen a single commercial on it yet. I don't know what they're planning on doing for advertising with it, if anything, other than, you know, maybe Luke will come back and start flipping it around. And...
No more Luke Wilson, please. Okay.
All right. Well, anyway, welcome Android to AT&T. So those that have not got a GSM device and unlocked it and use it on AT&T, you can now actually go buy one and use it. Some weird things, though, right? I mean, did we talk about this last week, the fact that you are forced to use Yahoo on it unless you go to the web browser and then go to Google?
Well, see, I mean, that's the other thing. So they took out the apps thing, and then they're using Yahoo instead of Google. Again, that's AT&T's choice. They're allowed to do that. We have another story where Motorola is going to use Bing in China instead of Google.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I mean, this is an open platform, guys. We can do what we, when I say we, I mean the manufacturers. The manufacturers can do what they want with it. That's kind of the whole point. Obviously, using Google is going to happen a lot by default, But cutting deals with Microsoft and with Yahoo, that's the way it works. In fact, T-Mobile just switched. They went back to Google from Yahoo, I believe. I mean, this is not a weird thing. It happens on the desktop all the time. That's how Mozilla makes its money, by, you know, it accepts a whole lot of money from Google to use Google as the default search there. So it's not a new concept. It's kind of a new concept in mobile, and especially when you have an Android phone, and when you hear Android, you think Google. Mm-hmm. But as much as we do that, we kind of have to step back from it, because that, you know, it's not the rule.
I don't like the idea of wanting to go and buy a device specifically because, I mean, for me, the Android OS is wonderful for me because of the integration with Google. And I use it because of the Gmail, because of the Google search, because of the Google voice, because of the Google contacts, the Google calendar, the Google. It's Google, you know? Like, and then to come out and say, they're putting Yahoo on this as the search. I understand your side of it, but I wouldn't even consider the backflip just because it doesn't have. Now, if I could put the default search back to Google, it'd be different. But it doesn't seem like you can do that from everything that I've seen.
Yeah, it would be nice to, you know, to have a choice. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going out and buying it for exactly the same reasons. But just because a whole bunch of bloggers are getting upset because you can't sideload, that's not the point of this phone. This is not a hacker's phone. This is not a sideloading phone. This is a phone for, you know, and it has Moto Blur on it. So go back to that argument. You know, this is for somebody who wants access to Facebook and Twitter, maybe. You know, in MySpace and things like that, and want a cool keyboard. And, you know, face it, it's a novelty keyboard, so that'll attract some people.
And the only Android that has 3G on AT&T, right?
Yes, because we still can't do it with the Nexus One. Well, we're not going to be able to
do it. Well, okay, and I take that back, because you can do it with, you know, the GSM Droid, the Milestone. So,
yes,
whatever. Not as easily, but...
No, whatever. maybe I got to buy one of those.
I think you need a Milestone. You know, someone asked me a question and the other day, and this is actually a pretty interesting one, saying, you know, are we going to potentially see any other of the devices that are going to be strictly going to the CDMA side? I guess, like, what, the Legend, you know? Could we get that one? Could we see that one on the, or not the Legend, excuse me, the Devour? Could we see the Devour come to GSM, not in the U.S., and then get unlocked? Are people going to start doing this? Is this going to be a thing?
You could, but that's the exception to the rule. I mean, that's people like you and me who really, really, really want the phone. That's maybe 1% of the population, and I seriously doubt it's that many.
Yeah, I suppose. I just am one of those people who really looks at it and goes, well, maybe, you know, maybe. So.
Yeah, yeah. We saw some cool numbers come out this week. Android has gained like 3,000, no, it's like 200-something percent usage share, market share, whatever, Sunny and share, through November, December, and January than it did the 3 months previous. And I wrote in the post, I believe that's all because of the Droid. The Droid came out in October 2009. There are a lot of heroes out there. There are a lot of My Touches out there. And those are both great phones. But there are just that many Droids out there. You can't deny that fact.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the numbers real quick. I mean, this is a quarter over quarter result, basically. So not even quarter, but like where we were a quarter ago. So October 09 versus January 10, 2.1% of the market in October, 7.1. That's 153% increase. That's a pretty big increase. I mean, you look at all the other guys. I mean, Apple, you know, a modest 1.2%, RIM 4.1%, Microsoft sucking wind down 20%, Palm down 26%. I'd be clearly the leader in this. And I really, that means a lot. I mean, I think that shows obviously that number one, the Droid was a very powerful device when it hit the market. And, you know, the advertising really worked. People were out there buying it, basically because it was the only thing that they could get on Verizon at the time. And there will be other phones, obviously, like the Desire that will come out here. And, you know, we'll have options, but I mean, that's it right now. So, but I was really blown away when I saw that. I mean, that number is real impressive.
Yeah. And so much of it, and I've talked a lot about this on the Windows Mobile side, is as their new operating system comes out, will Microsoft be willing to market it? When you look at a phone like the Nexus One, which is a great device and easily, I think, one of the top five smartphones out there, let alone Android phones, it's done as well as it has, and nobody knows how many it sold. There was another story that came out. Goldman Sachs said, oh, they're cutting their forecast from 3.5 million, and they, as Goldman Sachs, says that, you know, instead of 3.5 million Nexus One sold by the end of the year, it'll be 1 million. And so what? I mean, that those numbers mean nothing to me unless I know how many Google intended on selling. And there's a number out there that Google said, if we sell 150,000, we'll be happy. It's probably more than 150,000 that they were hoping for, that they were betting on, just because you're never actually going to tell people what you expect in that case. But unless we know what it was Google was expecting, we don't know if it's high or low at this point. As far as Android growth, I think there's a whole lot of room. And if we see another device like the Droid that's just that popular and that well put together, the keyboard notwithstanding, we're going to see Android just erode a lot more market share from people. Possibly RIM, if they do, you know, if we get a good business device, and the Droid wouldn't be a bad business device. You know, we got to fix Exchange first. We got to get that taken care of.
Yeah, and until they get that as tightly integrated as what you can get on a Windows mobile device, I mean, you've got all these legacy people that have been using Winmo for how long, and yeah, maybe they're looking for something new. BlackBerry doesn't appeal to them because, well, I don't know, they just don't want a BlackBerry. The iPhone is just seems a little bit too, you know, I don't know, whatever. So they decide to they decide they want something, you know, something that's a little bit more business, but not not like the BlackBerry. There's a lot of people out there like that, and they're, you know, Android could fill that need, but whether or not they end up doing it will definitely depend on, you know, that Exchange integration with it. So
Android is the mullet of haircuts. Is it a business in the front, party in the back?
Something like that. Yeah.
Is it a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll?
Although I don't know. I mean, you can get that with pretty much any of the OSs now because of the third party app support. So I just having something that is such a big glaring flaw should be a big feature that they work on, being the Exchange integration. And you know, they can totally just steal away all the market share that Windows people are hanging on to right now by fixing that one thing. So
the question is, who's going to do it? Because I don't think the Android platform itself will do it. I think it's going to take a manufacturer like Motorola or who else makes phones these days? Oh, HTC. you know, it's going to take one of them to really implement it well, I think. But then they would be the ones paying Microsoft to do it. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's true, because Microsoft makes a device or makes the integration in their device so good because they make the OS. I suppose you're going to have to see. Why wouldn't Google do it? Because the Gmail integration, and they say, whatever, you're fine.
Yeah, I mean, there's that in the licensing. I mean, that's a complicated thing.
Yeah, I
mean, why would Google want to license Exchange? Although, you know, I could see Google and Microsoft coming to some sort of deal just to take down RIM.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's always that, right? The BezX is a big blow to those who were the barrier to entry of, you know, how many thousands of dollars it costs to buy an enterprise server, and now you can get
BezX is basically BlackBerry for normal people outside an office.
Yeah, exactly. Well, or even small offices. I mean, this is Joey, the co-host on the Cell Phone Junkie, is a perfect example. I mean, his business is all Windows right now, and he started ordering BlackBerries after the announcement on the 1st that it was released, because guess what? It's so easy to get these BlackBerries now on the Bez, and you have enough IT policies to make, you know, most help desks or at least IT administrators happy. So I don't want to get off too much on that, but it's a pretty big deal for small businesses or people that are, you know, not big corporations that are looking to push out devices. And so if the Android wants to do something, they're going to have to do it soon, because you're going to just have all these, you know, other parties trying to dig in and get this business away from, you know, the groups that are not on the BlackBerry, which is really what it is, right? You've got BlackBerry people and everybody else.
Yep, exactly. So. Exactly. Oh, what else? We saw a story come out that some Vodafone HTC Magics were infected with a botnet and malware, and no, they weren't.
Well, the SD
it was one storage card that was infected. It wasn't that Vodafone was pumping these things out en masse and just nations were overthrown because of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's who would have done that? Was it the factory? Was it a, you know, employee at the store? Was it who knows who it was, you know, decides to throw on the, was it the Mariposa, I think is what it was.
And, you know, the sky's not falling. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, nothing to see here. Move along.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you know what I am excited about? The Dell Mini 5 apparently is going to have Kindle support.
You know, I saw this one and I almost just kind of glossed over it and rolled my eyes and went, oh, Dell, silly Dell. But you are definitely onto something here. I mean, this is a big device. Obviously, the 5 meaning a 5-inch screen. I mean, that's huge.
I got to play with it at Mobile World Congress and did a hands-on, and it's one of the videos that was on the stolen video camera, which is like the only thing I'm mad about. I missed that. I lost that. I lost video with the swipe guys. They were great. So I'm stoked about the Dell Mini 5. If this thing comes in under $500, I'm going to buy one, I think.
Hmm. Well, what are some of the features of it that we should even think about? It's 5-inch screen, 5-megapixel camera.
It's just badass.
Okay, that's it. That's all we need to know.
Yeah, that's an iPad what? No. Dell Mini 5. No. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, especially, you know, iPad goes on presale Friday morning. Mickey, you might have heard about that. I don't have a whole lot of faith for this thing standing up against the iPad.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's it. I think this is more of going after the folks that are looking for... I look at the HD2. It's the HD2 market, you know? Mm-hmm. It's the really big screen phone, you know?
I can see my daughter using it. She took over my netbook, and I could see, you know, giving it to my daughter in the car, whereas I don't want to give her this 10-inch iPad, because she'll break that.
Mm. Isn't your daughter, like, 3?
Yeah.
Wow. Taking after her dad, isn't she? All right.
3.5, so totally.
Yeah, you know, so looking at it, though, they're saying, what, 1 gig processor, 2.0 or 2.1 definitely on it, and expected release on some GSM carrier here in the U.S. So it's kind of what we know.
It is a cool piece of hardware.
Mm.
Oh, let's see. We talked about the Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we talked about Google.
Nexus One at Verizon, maybe?
Nah.
Maybe
nah.
No?
Nah. Nah. No, especially if we have the Incredible possibly replacing the Droid Aris. I just don't see them selling the Nexus One in store. That's Google's thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't read too much into that. Let's see. Swipe is now an official beta, so you can go out and get it. And I don't know if that's still open. I got mine very quickly, and I know a lot of people did too. You've used Swipe before, right, Mickey?
Yeah, I've got a hacked version, I guess we'll call it, on it. And, since I got the HTC keyboard, it just doesn't... It doesn't appeal to me. I just don't. It's fun, I guess. It's fun to play with. You know, it's one of those features where you pull out your phone to show somebody something on your phone. This is the Shazam of keyboards, right? You know, like what is the point of swiping around other than to show people how cool it is that you can swipe around?
There are a lot of cool shortcuts you can do, and that's why I'm so pissed that I lost that video,
because
the guy's like, do you know how to do this, and he's like making circles and squiggles and drawing a star to do something. There were a lot of cool shortcuts, and I'm still surprised it's as popular as it is, but people love this thing.
All right, well, if you we'll have to talk to these guys coming up here, because I'm sure they'll be at CTIA, and they'll need to definitely show me why I'm wrong, because I'm playing around with it now, and my star is not doing anything other than entering that noise.
Speaking of drawing stuff, we've got Google Gesture. I can't say this. Google Gestures? Gesture Search.
Yep.
Nope, you say it. I can't say it.
Google Gesture Search.
All right, good job.
Google Gesture Search is a very, very fun thing if you just throw an icon on your screen and you're looking to pull up somebody real quick. This is really fun for one-handed dialing, and that's why I like it. So, you know, I can type in like J-O, and I can pull up, you know, Joey. I can pull up, I've got 800 people with the name Jones in here, and then back and swipe and do all sorts of stuff. That's what I liked it for, was just one-handed search. For whatever reason, I'm not a big fan of clicking on contacts and then using the big, super large thing on the side to scroll up and down on. And just find it annoying.
I actually have a whole home screen on my Nexus One with contact icons.
Ah, interesting.
So then you push their face, you know, smother them with your thumb.
Yeah.
And then you get options. Do you want to call? Do you want a text message? Do you want to email? I use that all the time. But I really like this because it does more than just contacts. It'll also search through applications and bookmarks. And there's one other, and I forget what it is. You know, it's a little bit of a novelty, but it works pretty darn well.
I've been pretty happy with it. I mean, I don't use it a ton, but then again, I don't call too many people either, so I can't say a whole lot about it. So, but for the most part, for those that are looking to do something, it's definitely quick. It pulls up things real easy here. So, like, I just typed in G-O, and it pulled up someone with last name Goodman, Google Sky Map, also Google.com, some of my search history, Google Goggles, and then it pulls up some people with names with G-O in the middle. So, I mean, it's kind of cool. It's fun. It's a fun thing to do. It's I don't know whatever reason I like these real quick type of things that just do one thing. It's almost like it does nothing. Like it does just one little thing that really is nice. And, mm-hmm. and I like that. And so I've been using that over the contacts pretty much solely here. So I've been happy with it.
If they could get this built into the OS, so like you're just on top of your home screen and you just start drawing, that would be awesome. I would use that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that would be very nice, for sure.
That would make the Palm Prize Universal Search just look like crap.
Mm.
Well, all right, maybe not like crap, maybe. But it would be a really cool feature over the Palm Prize, which has great Universal Search.
Yeah. I find that, for the most part, the searching functionality, though, on this phone is probably better than most. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's so easy to just go in, and that's, I guess, one of the reasons why I just absolutely love what you can do here with, you know, the Nexus and most Google phones for that matter, but they've done some nice tie-ins with Google. I like Google. I'm not scared of them. I don't think they're evil. You know, I'm not giving them information that I fear that they're going to take and use nefariously. Maybe I'm ignorant. You can say I'm ignorant, but I don't have a problem with it.
I live in public now. I gave up a long time ago.
Yeah, I see.
Let's see what else. Opera Mini 5 is now in beta on Android.
Are you a user of other browsers? Are you a you know?
Not on Android, and that's the odd thing. I need to try some more. You know, on Windows Mobile, I only use Opera.
Hmm.
But on Android, I really just stick to the stock browser. So that's kind of a big question. It's like, why do you need this? And I played with Opera Mobile at Mobile World Congress, and that works fine. And it's just like, you know, it's the same feel as using Opera on Windows Mobile. But the Android browser is pretty darn good. Thank you, WebKit. Mm-hmm. And
I think so.
I'm just not sure why you need anything else at this point.
You know, I suppose there's certain things that you can tie in as far as, you know, speed, like the speed of the browser, I think, is a little bit faster.
And actually, that's where Opera Mini comes in.
Yeah.
Because Opera Mini compresses everything through Opera's servers and then gets shot out to your phone, kind of like Skyfire on Windows Mobile if you've used that, but a little different. And it's lighter weight, so you're not pulling in as much data if you're, you know, worrying about how much data. Like this would have been great for us in Barcelona.
Sounds like it, yeah. I look at what they've done, and I think it's good that they have the option out there. Maybe I should try it just for the sake of trying it. I don't know. I'm not a big feel the need for other browsers type of guy. I don't know. It's not my thing.
Yeah, it's good to have the options, but I'm not sure why it's going to beat out the default browser at this point. Yeah. So, you know, what does beat out default things like iTunes is Double Twist.
Double Twist. Yeah, they had an update for you Windows using folks, I hear.
Yes, there are a few of us out here. Yeah, we got a big update. Details are in the post there. The big thing is podcast support now.
Excellent.
So you can manage podcasts in it just like you would in iTunes. It still kind of freaks me out how much Double Twist looks like iTunes. It's like, yeah, all right, you're the iTunes alternative. We get it. You look like iTunes.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So go get that. We'll have a link in the show notes. Tetherberry is in beta for Android. It's a big time favorite BlackBerry app, right?
Absolutely. That's something that if you are a BlackBerry user and are looking to use your BlackBerry as a connected device, you know, so you can use your netbook or laptop or whatever with it, it's a must have, and it's wonderful. So very nice.
What else do we have? Photoshop Mobile. We did hands on with that, and I'm trying to decide, like, do I want to edit photos on my phone or not? I mean, I can see where it'd be handy
sometimes, but I mean, if you really have like that little time to do anything with the photo other than your phone that you have with you, and this is the great thing about you know, handsets now is that there are options like this to allow you to not have to tie in your PC if you don't want to, because it's so easy to do things like this. You're not going to get the full functionality of the, you know, Photoshop application that you have on your desktop. But, you know, if you want to change the exposure, you want to add a little sepia or something with it, you can do all sorts of, you know, different things like that. Crop, you know, do different effects and stuff like that. It's pretty good. I mean, it does some decent things for you. And I have played around with this one, but it's not like a I use it every day type of thing. But yeah, it's sometimes nice to have something like this. And the price is right. You download it for free, and so no big deal. Throw it on there and just have it in those situations where you may need it.
True. Let's talk updates for a minute, because we only get about, I think it's about 30 or 40 tweets every day asking, when's my update coming? When's my update coming? We don't know.
Why don't we know?
Because nobody tells us. Motorola won't tell us. T-Mobile won't tell us. Telus won't tell us. That was a carrier joke. No, we just don't know. We saw a leaked version of Android 2.1 for the Droid Aris come out about a week or so ago. And that looks pretty darn cool, actually. And from what we're hearing, that will end up being what is actually pushed out. Don't know when it's coming. Don't know when the 2.1 update for the Droid is still coming. Don't know when the Samsung Moment's going to get updated. Don't know when the Heroes are going to get updated. Don't know when the G1. The G1 just got a radio update today, which is cool. But you know, we just don't know.
I don't know that there's anything that's more annoying, though, than having a device that you know is going to get the update, and you just have to sit there and wait for it, though. I remember that with the Treo 750. I was like, come on, guys, you know, get with the program. Give me Windows 6. And, you know, I know that's what a lot of you guys are thinking out there with this, and just got to be patient. You know, we know a lot of them are coming, but it's one of those, don't know. No idea.
I treat updates like I treat airplanes. I don't want people rushing these things out. Take your time, get it right the first time. You know, nobody's going to die if your phone gets bricked, but I want it to work right the first time. I don't want to have to worry about it.
I suppose that's a good way of looking at it. What else?
I was going to say something else, but I forget. Oh. I forget what it was. I'm all ranted out now.
How about apps? We'll talk about the Android Central Editor apps of the week. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, so we finally put those out. That's going to be a weekly little project we're doing, and we need to get you involved in on that. Basically, we're going to pick apps. Some be old, some will be new. So, you know, when you freak out, oh, Task Killer, that's old. And that's still an important app, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
And actually, I asked that rhetorically because I'm going to get emails already. You don't need Task Killers. Task Killers are bad for Android. Yeah, okay.
Are they bad? Why are they bad?
Some people say, and apparently it depends on the phone too, there's this whole argument. This is almost as big as the resistive capacitive arguments you get on Windows Mobile or any platform, actually. I don't know the Linux file structure well enough to know how these things, and if you want, you can ask Jerry Hildenbrand. And Jerry, I love you, pal, but man, half of what he writes back to me is just way over my head. No, it's a big argument, whether you should be task managing at all. But I'm just so used to it, I can't help myself.
You know where I like it? I like it for things like, I'll occasionally pull up an application that I know has started to, we'll just say, go rogue. And my perfect example is, for whatever reason, location on maybe not the browser. Well, maybe the browser, but things like, Foursquare or what else we got on here that's interesting, like the Weather Channel. I love the Weather Channel's little widget. It shows me all the time, you know, what the temperature is and if it's raining or not, if, you know, whatever. But sometimes it like gets stuck on trying to find the location, and then I have the little GPS little thing orbing itself on the screen, and I go, you know, that can't be good for the battery. So, and then I try and figure it out, and I can't figure out what it is. So then I just go into my little Task Killer and, you know, pull up all the applications that I think could be using it and fix it. I like the idea that sharing the applications that are being used on a regular basis here. And I really like Matt Miller's, because he talked about Google Listen, and he actually mentioned the Cell Phone Junkie in his little segment. I thought that was cool.
I noticed that. How much did you pay him?
I'm not going to talk about that right now. So Matt, I'll hit you up a little bit later. Anyway, but the idea that you've got all these different types of applications that you may not know about to talk about them every week is a real big one. I mean, Casey mm-hmm. Chan talks about the League Pass mobile. I thought that was a great application, you know, for those that are interested in watching the NBA. And, you know, as we come down to crunch time here at the end of the season, there's going to be a lot more interest by people in what's going on with these games and a lot of great things that you can do. Streaming of every NBA game, Wi-Fi or 3G. That's awesome. Love it.
That is very cool. And we need to see every sport do that, actually, especially soccer and tennis, because I can't wait to get tennis on my, and golf. We need golf on our phone. Actually, golf would be all right, wouldn't it?
I like golf. I follow golf quite a bit. So yeah, no problem. You live in Florida. How do you not like golf?
I love golf. Yeah. I wasn't kidding.
Okay. All right.
Did I sound like... Well, yeah, all right. That's
there was sarcasm in there.
I know. It's on by default. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, we've got to use the task killer to get rid of that.
You know, the other huge argument we've had over the past week is what the best Twitter client is. We had a little contest / forum questionnaire thing going on. And basically, we asked everybody out there, hey, what's your favorite Twitter client? And overwhelmingly, it was Seismic.
Nice. Good. I
love Seismic.
I don't have to try any other ones then. Because if it was going to come down and someone, and he, like last week we talked about Hootsuite, and I was like, well, I suppose I should maybe try that, but
I've tried most of the ones that that we've talked about. I haven't tried that, I don't even know how to pronounce it, the French one, Twitter. It looks like it'd be Twitter. I haven't tried that. I think I've tried just about all the others that I can think of. I've tried Twika. I've tried Peep. I've tried Hootsuite. And Seismic... There's some things that Twidroid does that I like a lot. I like having all the mentions or at replies in one stream. I like having all the DMs in one stream. I can't have, you know, I'm running three accounts right now, so I can't have just my entire timeline as one stream. But I like, you know, DMs are smaller, much, much smaller. The list of at replies is generally much smaller, although not so much these days, and that's a good thing when everybody's mentioning us. And Twidroid does that really well, so that you can just swipe left and right and get from one to the other. It's very quick, and I like that a lot. Whereas Seismic, you got to go tapping a couple times. So that's a trade-off. But Seismic is very clean. It's very well put together.
I like it. It's fast.
Yeah.
It works well for me. So I don't know.
And it's free.
Yeah, and it's free. So, and not that any of the, you know, the paid ones are necessarily bad. It's, you know, go check them out and see what you think works best for you. I mean, it took me a while to find ones, you know, for other devices like the iPhone that I liked. I still never found one that I liked on BlackBerry. I just gave up and just used the web client, believe it or not. Did not like it.
Tweetcaster is really nice. And it was, my thing about Twitter clients is I used Twikini on Windows Mobile. And it was kind of bare bones and just not a lot of UI flashiness going on. But that's what I like in a Twitter client. I don't need giant bubbles and birds and you know, Twitter logos coming at me. I need to know what somebody's saying, and I need to know what they're saying right now. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, fair enough.
And that's it's a pretty good mix between the two, I think. And really, that's what I'm looking for in a Twitter client.
Yeah. And I don't really use Twitter all that much. I just kind of seem to, I don't know, I go in phases. Like every once in a while, I'll log in and do a bunch of stuff like I did today, and then like I probably won't say anything until Sunday or something now. I don't know. Unless you write me, then I'll write you back at @TCPJ_Mickey.
Shameless.
I know.
Shameless. Paying off Matt Miller, plugging yourself every now. I'm kidding. All right, we got an email this week already. Only one. No, actually, we got a couple. We got some nice emails from people saying it's about damn time you guys got a podcast. And thank you guys. Thank you for the kind words. So we got an email from Andre, and he writes, love the first podcast, and I'm looking forward to my new weekly fix. I'm currently a Windows Mobile user, waiting for Sprint to bring on the Nexus One or Supersonic before I switch to Android. But the other issue that keeps me hanging on to my Trio Pro is Kinoma Play. So what's the deal with Kinoma on Android? Everything I've heard about Android's native media player is underwhelming, and Kinoma seems to be silent on Android support, which is odd considering the limited lifespan of Windows Mobile 6.5. Maybe you guys can light a fire under Kinoma for a word on the company's Android roadmap. Actually, emailed Kinoma today and heard back from them, and they cannot speak about whether or not they are working on Android. So, sorry. Nah. It's about what I expected.
Yeah.
But
is there a media player on this device? I haven't found it yet.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. It is underwhelming. I will say that.
Yeah. 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 It's not great. You know, and actually I looked at, the Pure Music widget that ties into it, and that actually makes it look a lot better. So you might give that a shot.
Yeah.
There are tons of music, and there's another one I used for a while, and I forget what it was called. There's some really good music widgets out there that will make the experience a lot more enjoyable.
Mm. I'm a big internet streaming music guy, so I like Slacker Radio, and truly, I don't even have much media that I play on the device. It's mostly streamed, so that's kind of what I do. But yeah, you know, Konoma, they're good guys. I love them on the Windows side, so let's hope they get their act together and can get something out here. So we'll pester them if we see them at CTIA too. They're usually hanging out with the Microsoft guys, so.
Whatever. You say that like it's a bad thing.
Well, you know, I mean, they got it works. I mean, that's the other interesting thing is you get these like segments of companies that tie into these other companies. So you have like Konoma that will be at the Microsoft booth, and it's almost like they have their own little stand, if that's what the best way I can call it. You know, they have a computer there and they talk about, you know, their integration with the services. Now, that may be something that one of the reasons why they are not talking about Android right now is because of some agreements that they have on the Microsoft side, although that doesn't seem quite right. They're a developer, whatever. But you never know. I mean, they could, you know, they could be come out with something here and they just can't talk about it right now. So, I don't know.
I hope they do. They're a cool company. And they started doing some really interesting stuff on Windows Mobile, you know, they built in Twitter. They have an app store built into their Windows Mobile client. They have Flickr built into it. And just a whole bunch of stuff that we see, like in HTC Sense and that we see in Moto Blur. And Konoma was doing a lot of that. It said, you know, like, do you think they could be working on their entire own Android build?
I don't know. They certainly could be. I mean,
let's start a rumor.
There you go. Wow, did you hear about Konoma? It's awesome.
Charles is gonna kill us.
Andre, we don't have a straight answer for you, but hopefully that you know that we're taking a look at it. So,
yep. Keep an ear out.
Yep.
That's it, I think. That's a whole lot of news.
I love it.
I'm tired. I need a break.
A lot of stuff going on with Android, though, and I know we should be seeing some good stuff here, I hope. I know we'll have some new phones at CTIA for sure.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, definitely. And we'll get another podcast in before then.
Oh, absolutely. For sure. Yep.
Yep. And probably one or two while we're there as well.
I hope so.
All right. Well, in the meantime, you can email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. You can find us all on Twitter at Android Central is the main site. I am at Phil Nickinson. Mickey is at TCPJ_Mickey. You can get all our writers. We've got a Twitter list up. So if you go to twitter.com/Android Central, you can check out the list and get to everybody else that way. We are brought to you this week, as we are every week. Well, last week, I guess, since this is the second podcast, by the Android Central store. You can get to them at store.androidcentral.com, or you can call them toll-free at 866-757-8117. And you can leave us a voicemail. Call 888-468-6158, extension 222. And you can leave us the intro just like Sue did. You can leave it there. You can record it on your desktop. We'll have instructions in the show notes if you want to do that, because we love hearing from you guys, and I want to get like 10 and 12 submissions every week, so get on it. Get to it.
Awesome.
That's it. We're done.
Have a good one.
See you, everybody.